The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. Oh, the most merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is resorting to Ahlul Bayt.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Today, Friday, is the 14th of Zilqada, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open the Holy Quran, and for today, we'll listen to chapter 5, verse 55.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His Messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Guardianship over Muslims belongs firstly to Allah, secondly to the Prophet, and then to the Immaculate Imam, and after that to jurisconsult. The best kind of introduction is that in which the qualities and characteristics of a particular person he mentioned and the audience adapt them to its aspect and they themselves find its extension. The verse, without mentioning the name of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has enumerated his qualities and actions.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? Some verses can be found in the Holy Quran on the infallibility of the prophets and Imams. The verse of Ita'ah or obedience, O you who have faith, obey Allah and obey the Apostle and those vested with authority among them. This verse is also one of the verses that indicates the infallibility of the Imams because it hasn't made the obedience of the Prophet and Imams dependent on anything else and has left it absolute. The only way what this verse says can be justified is to say that their obedience is an in line with obeying Allah and that there is never any contradiction between obeying them and what Allah wants from us. Such can only be achieved if they are infallible, because if it wasn't so and they were prone to error and sin, there would certainly be times where their obedience would be in contradiction with Allah's command as a result of their error.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to discuss some important aspects of seeking support of the infallible Imams. At the same time, we find that there is a piece of hadith in that one of the infallible Imams indicated whether in the West or in the East, in the whole world, you wouldn't find any piece of knowledge more profitable compared with what we issue you, what we issue for you, and what we teach you. It indicates that infallible Imams are good support of us, not because of they themselves, but because of us. We find that the infallible Imams are the express manifestations, of the divine guidance, and this divine guidance should reach us, by means of very reliable personalities, who must be regarded as the most attentive personality responsible in our favor and for us, usually the infallibles, In this regard, we find that infallible Imams, the infallibles in general, and particularly the infallible Imams, are those important and praiseworthy personalities before whom we may get everything, taken from our worldly needs up to our scholarly needs or our benefits and felicity in the world hereafter. We hope to be able to receive the divine grace through appealing to the teachings of the infallibles. Thank you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim إنك حميد مجيد.
How to respect Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. After learning about the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, we can now come to ways on respecting them. The first and most vital way is through acknowledging that they see and witness our every move and knowing that we should act accordingly. In our daily lives, we have to always remember to act in a way where the Ahlul Bayt are pleased with our behavior. We respect them by performing our prayers on time, respecting our parents and elders through giving charity. We respect them by doing as they wish.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Morality of Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza. Today, we're gonna speak about his devotion. Abu Salt has reported when Imam Reza arrived in Nishapur on a black and white mule, I was accompanying him and the scholars of Nishapur had come to say welcome to the Imam. When he left the neighborhood, they took the rein of his mule, saying, O son of Allah's messenger, we ask you through the mediation of your purified forefathers, tell us a hadith. Imam Reza, who had a cloak of fur on, put his head out of the mule leader, saying, quoting Allah's messenger, my father reported, Gabriel informed me of Allah, saying, I am verily Allah. There are no God but me. O my servants, worship only me, and know that any one of you who meets me by bearing witness that there is no God but Allah, wholeheartedly and with devotion has entered my fortress. And whoever enters my fortress will be immune from my chastisement. They ask, O son of Allah's messenger, what is devotion in the oneness of Allah? The Imam answered, obeying Allah's messenger and obeying the imamate of Ahlul Bayt.
The Imam who's going to lead you must have the full knowledge, must be the most knowledgeable. Allah can only choose someone who has absolute knowledge and correct knowledge, who will not give you any false knowledge, any false, you know, information. Sometimes we may make errors. Sometimes we may give misinformation, even if we have good intentions. But the Imam must be a source where you can always go to and trust. You must trust the knowledge of the Imam and to know that the Imam has the full knowledge. Only Allah can choose such a person. Therefore, Allah is the one who chooses the Imam. Now that's the rational, intellectual perspective. What about the Quran? Is there anything in Quran that demonstrates God chooses such people? Yes. Let's look at basically two main words that are used to refer to an imam. Imam and Khalifa. When we look at the Quran, we find that the imam and the Khalifa is chosen by God. The first example that I want you all to be familiar with is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 124. Allah talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was a prophet. Then he passed his test. God made him a messenger, Rasul. Then he kept elevating in his iman until he became Khalilur Rahman. He became the intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him that honor. But what is the highest level that Ibrahim achieved? So chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 124 tells us, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَ. Allah tried Ibrahim, difficult trials. فَأَتَمَّهُنَ, he completed those trials. When he completed those trials, how did Allah honor Ibrahim? What did he do? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah said to Ibrahim, I have chosen you as an imam to the people. See, Allah says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I have chosen you as an imam. So if you look at the Quran is very clear that an imam is to be chosen by God. Not my this ummah or people of this ummah, they gather somewhere and they choose the imam for them. No. The imam must be chosen by Allah. So that's the first proof from the Holy Quran.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
And we finish this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us till this time. And till another greetings, we bid you goodbye. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a brief but bright statement from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Fear the believer's insight, for in seeing things, he is assisted by the light of Allah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned many times before, that certain attributes, or rather all attributes or traits that we have, contain signs. And those signs allude to or indicate that whether that attribute we claim to have or we claim to have acquired is in reality within us or not. But there are some things that we do in order for something greater to be achieved. And one of those, rather the greatest thing, or the greatest quality, if you would like to say, that we as human beings can acquire is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? One potential explanation is that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman, meaning that He is merciful to every single one of His creation. Nothing escapes the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves exist, they breathe air, and so on and so forth. They are able to walk, they are able to talk, so they have all this mercy, the general mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are those individuals who wish to acquire a special type of mercy. And these individuals are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. In this tradition from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, we see that there are two qualities mentioned by the Imam. That by attaining these two qualities, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. So the fourth holy Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves every sorrowful heart and loves every grateful servant. The second one is obvious, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a blessing, provides us with a ni'mah, we give thanks for it. And again, we've mentioned the stages of thanks in one of our previous, or many of our previous episodes. But the first one needs a bit of contemplation on. Sorrowful heart, what are you sorrowful of? Are you sorrowful for losing, or rather losing something materialistic? Why would Allah love you then? What is a potential meaning of this sorrowful heart? Is this person is hazin and sorrowful because there is a distance between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he wishes to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wishes to close this gap between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasallam. He wishes to close the gap and become extremely close and to become a companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Immaculate Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasallam. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 77 to 79 of Suratul Isra, recited by Sheikh Abdul Nasir Harak.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. من قد أرسلنا قبلك من رسلنا ولا تجد لسنتنا تحويلا أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهوداً سُنَّةَ مَنْ قَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا تَحْوِيلًا. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى محمودا. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and you just listened to the recitation of verses 77 to 79 of Suratul Isra, recited by the great Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Abdul Nasser Harak. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to begin talking about the ghunna of the letter Noon. Whenever Noon is mushaddad, you have to apply ghunna. This is a very simple rule of tajweed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just whenever Noon is mushaddad, has a shadda, you have to hold the sound of the Noon for two vowel counts, nasally. So at the beginning of verse 77 of Suratul Isra, we have sunnata. Sunnata. The Noon has shadda, so we automatically have to apply ghun.
Yes.
We have different ghunnas. This is one of them. This is the most basic one. We also have ghunna whenever ikhfa takes place, whenever idgham ma'al ghunna takes place, whenever iqlab takes place, ikhfa of mim sakinah. All of these are ghunna.
Yes.
Okay. What is important is that for all of these ghunnas, the duration has to be the same. Okay,
uh-huh.
Two vowel counts. This is again rule of consistency.
Consistency, yes.
If you lengthen sunnata too much, and there's another noon with shatta, for example, وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا, and if you apply the ghunna for a shorter duration for another noon with shatta, that's incorrect. They should be the same.
Yes.
Okay. That's and also right. For the ikhfa. Manqad. There's two vowel counts. Ikhfa should not be ghunnas of ikhfa. One should not be more than the other.
That's okay. Right.
So this is another rule. Just like the meds that we have, matul muttasil and matul munfasil.
The general rule consistency is of high significance.
Yeah, in tajweed, basically. Now I want to talk about tafkhim of some letters.
Thickness.
The thickness. Some letters have to always be pronounced with tafkhim. They are the letters of isti'la.
Mm-hmm.
The letters of isti'la are seven letters. They are sad, bad, ba, wa, ghain, kha, and qaf.
Mm-hmm.
There are seven letters. they have to be pronounced with a full mouth, with the back of the root of the tongue raised. And for four of them, the body of the tongue should be raised as well, the back of the tongue sometimes. So we have pharyngealization, which means the root of the tongue goes up toward the pharynx.
Yes.
And we have velarization, which means the back of the tongue goes up towards the velum. Qad. Qaf has only tafkhim without the root of the tongue, actually with only the root of the tongue raised. We don't have itbaq for qaf.
We don't have the body of the tongue.
The body or the back of the tongue. We don't say, for example, too much tafkhim. We don't have that much tafkhim for qaf. It's impossible.
Unlike ta.
Qala. Unlike ta, which has a lot of tafkhim. So, another point.
You were talking about the four letters. Four letters with itbaq in addition to istilah.
The four letters that have itbaq are sad, lad, ta, and wa. Ta has the highest level of itbaq. Then we have lad, then sad, and finally wa.
In these cases, we have both the root of the tongue and the back of the tongue raised.
That's right. And for example, some letters, some words that have tafkhim in these verses are sunnata man qad, not qad. Qad is incorrect. Qad. Again, not too much tafkhim. Man qad. Qad is incorrect. Qad. Arsalna qablaka. Again, the qaf. And then let's go to the next verse. We have many letters of isti'la and tafkhim in verse 78 of Surah Al-Isra. Aqimis salah. We have
qaf, but this time it has a kasra.
So we have the lowest level of tafkhim. Mm-hmm. Another point about letters of isti'la is that they have different levels depending on
the
haraka or the vowel, the long vowel or
the short
sukun.
Vowel.
If it has a sukun, it also affects the tafkhim. Aqim al-sa, qi, not qi. Okay? Aqim al-salah.
So we have five levels, I think.
We have five levels. The first level is whenever you have a long vowel.
Alif.
Alif al-mad, exactly. Not just any long vowel. Alif al-mad. For example, in this verse, we don't have a letter of isti'la with alif al-mad. But
just
if,
like,
for example, qala. See, the mouth opens vertically.
Then?
And then we have fatha, qad. Uh-huh. Then we have dhamma and waw al-mad.
Third
both
level.
Are the same.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have Qur'an.
Then
we
have
sukun. Yakhfa, for example. And then we have kasra and yakhfa.
That is the lowest level.
The lowest.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadith we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadl al-Quran, about the merits of the Quran, another chapter of the same section. Fadlu Hamil al-Quran, the merits of the people who carry the Quran. Of course, to carry the Quran doesn't mean just to have a copy of the Quran in your hand or pocket and carry it. If Allah give me chance, inshallah, another time in future, I will explain more the concept of Hamlul Quran. What does it mean, Hamlul Quran? Anyway, in this chapter, Fadlu Hamil al-Quran, there are some hadiths. The first hadith, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, Inna ahla al-Qur'an fi a'la darajatin min al-adamiyyin. ما خلا النبيين والمرسلين. The people of the Quran are in the highest rank among human beings except the prophets and messengers. So after the prophets and messengers who themselves received wahy, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after them, who has the highest rank? Ahlul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an. فَلَا تَسْتَضْعِفُوا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ حُقُوقَهُمْ. Do not underestimate the rights of the people of the Qur'an. Don't underestimate their right, their position, their rank. فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْجَبَّارِ لَمَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. Because truly, they have a very high position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali. And that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Back to Reality. In the studio with me, I have two special guests and friends. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, sister.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi. I am Sister Nasreen, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so very much, Sister Nasreen. Though your accent makes it quite obvious, just for, you know, our listeners to get more in tune with the vibe of our discussion, can I ask where you're from and what you've your studies have been?
I'm born in England, and I am studying Masters in Philosophy of Ethics.
MashaAllah. Thank you so
Applied
very
ethics,
much.
Actually.
Thank you so much for that information. And my other lovely guest is...
Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK. I'm studying here in the holy city of Qom, studying Islam, and I'm at your service today.
Thank you so very much for joining us, Brother Muzaffar, Sister Nasreen. It's an absolute pleasure and honor. Today we're going to be talking about how or whether media, especially social media, makes us stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, does it?
Does it?
Yeah, that's like clean cut, straightforward, no fuss, no muss, no bush. Does social media make us stupid? Y'all are nodding.
But it doesn't matter,
much.
You know. Like
well,
first
it's interesting because there's a vast amount of information. You can learn so many things
can
about
really?
The world. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
first
sure.
let's
yeah.
define social media.
Okay, social media is technology which is used to share images, words, and video.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell, right? That's all right. Pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
It allows people from all over the world to get connected wherever they are to others and to share their messages.
All right, that's social media.
Technically, if you look at it just objectively, it should be a miraculous thing that
it
allows
should.
The world to be
exactly,
a better place.
Exactly, because when you define it that way, I'm like, then what are we doing wrong?
What are we
well,
doing
who
wrong?
Says we're doing something wrong?
Ah, even better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What are we
yeah,
doing
Yeah, I thought
right?
that was, the question was that to analyze it, not necessarily taking sides, but is it a negative thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just like, what are you using a gun for? Right? And that is just the same as anything that is neutral, that is put in the hand of an idiot. If you give $1 billion to an idiot, he will spend it also in an idiotic way. But if you put it in someone who has a little bit of conscience and intelligence, then he can make a miracle happen on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, immobilize positive things. And that is the same as the social media, that if we are living in a way that is correct or sensible or intelligent or towards the right goal, then social media is just an assistant.
Okay, then let me ask this very blunt, borderline rude question. Is social media in the hands of idiots?
Yes.
Which you answered even more boldly.
Absolutely.
Bluntly.
The world is full of idiots, isn't it, unfortunately? I mean, I was told never to say comments like that because it makes me sound pretentious. But my God, like, I'm not saying I'm the most intelligent
person
on Earth.
No, I don't. We have to be honest. And if that's the truth, then we can also defend ourselves with evidence.
Best example is when a certain president in the world announced that bleach heals coronavirus, and people actually went out and drank it and died because of it. You know?
Do you remember the thing era, the Tide Pod era, that they would eat Tide Pods?
Oh yeah, there you go.
Do you remember the flat earther era?
It's still going on, actually.
It's an ongoing era? Flat earthers.
Oh, the flat earth?
Yeah.
Some of their arguments are quite convincing, by the way.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, the point was not the flat earth. The point was, does the defense of the opposite have enough argument? You know?
I think pictures
it means
from space does
we,
it for me.
But no, that highlights a great thing. Like, have you seen all these internet challenges? One of them was to lick a toilet challenge.
Yeah.
One of them was to ice bucket challenge and things like that. And
invade your pets.
I think, do you know what has happened?
Wait, no, I need to finish a sentence. Otherwise, it sounds weird. Invade your pets. Space era, you know, that
they
challenge.
No.
Like, you have a dog or a cat and just invade their personal space. Go snuggle with them. Go sleep in their bed. Go, like, shove your foot in their face and see how their reaction is.
Social media has made this machine where it is a competition to see who can be the most idiotic.
Yes.
And what
are they trying to gain from that?
Yes.
Fame, money, a lot of
likes,
times.
Attention.
It's the Bart Simpson. It's the dumbing down of society to satisfy the agenda of those at the top.
And
you
what
know?
We've seen happen over the last few years is a saturation of the social media to the point where all the dumbness has floated to the surface. A lot of the intellectual discussions have been hidden away behind algorithms. They're not as fancy anymore. They're not as interesting to watch. And so
they're not as viral.
They're not as viral. I
this
mean, why
whole
would
viral
they be?
Culture, I think, really did very little good for humanity.
We're how many dumb. Times does the Quran actually say, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ?
Yeah.
Most of them don't know. And this is like the kind of bleak description of the majority of human beings throughout the Quran. And I think it's time we start to believe in the Quran. It is telling us and warning us that people, generally speaking, are just completely, they lack knowledge, they're ignorant. And I think a lot of that is coming to the surface now. And
definitely. We'll be back after a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio.
You're listening to Back to Reality.
Everything else in this age of media is coming to the surface. You can't have especially when you're a famous personality, sneeze without like it making the front line of every social media the next day. Their excuse for displaying so much hollow, shallow, stupid, idiotic content is that, oh, but the world is so broken and so bitter. Oh, people are going through so much hardship. Let's have some like comical relief. Let's just have a good time where we're here. And they come up with this stupidity, this blatant stupidity, with the excuse of let's make each other laugh.
Those are people that should have nothing to do with our type of thinking and lifestyle. I don't even know of what goes on in there, and neither my children, because that is the riffraff of the human race. Why do we involve ourselves in their media at all? You know, we should be sort of going after, having a motive and a reason to be on the social media and fulfilling that purpose. Mm. Not that these, I'm assuming they're actors or, you know, Hollywood or some kind of people that you're talking about, but they have nothing to do with us. There is a line between us and them. Beautiful. You know?
The line is being blurred to a greater or lesser extent.
And which is sad.
It's gotten to a point where, I don't know if you've noticed, but occasionally an old video from like the 60s and 70s and 80s would pop up.
When you said old, my mind directly went to the 2000s. That old, like 68.
Even then. Okay. But it will be somebody just speaking intellectually. It might be a comedian. It might be an actor. It might be anybody, a politician. But the way they will talk, and you'll scroll down and you'll see in the comments, why can't our people talk like this anymore?
Mm.
It's laughable, but at the same time, it's quite scary.
It is.
Because if you look at the next generation, we're millennials, right? We're kind of in the millennial generation. Generation Z, though, the next generation, oh my God. Have you ever gauged their sense of humor? So you don't really like kids, do you, sister? But
no.
If you try and gauge and just look at the kind of content that they're, the kind of Minecraft TikTok kids, right?
Yeah.
Their attention span, like I thought my attention span was hurt. Their attention span is like, oh, I'm honestly really scared.
But that really does.
That's frightening.
It is frightening, but also studies have shown that engaging excessively in social media really does rewire our brains to become less focused, more easily distracted. Because we receive information so quickly and immediately, there's no challenge in it. There's no in-depth studying process that goes into it. We just read a line and we're like, okay, that's information, and it creates this illusion of knowledge satiation in our minds.
Mm.
We feel like we don't need to pursue more. And it leads us to be less intelligent and smart.
You have just hit the nail on the head.
I do what I can. I'm sorry. Because how did I do that?
It really comes down to that instant gratification culture.
Oh, yeah.
So I've mentioned this before, but it is a fascinating case study, where they put a cake on the table or a donut on the table and they left a child alone in the room and they told him, if you can refrain from eating this donut for just 15 minutes, you will get an extra donut.
Mm.
All of the kids failed except for two of them. That's not the interesting part. The fascinating part of it is later on in life, when the researcher revisited each of these children, he found that the two children who actually refrained from eating that donut and waited until they got the second donut, they were more successful.
Successful,
right? They were better in their studies, they were more intelligent, etc., etc. They got better jobs. Why? Because they did not give in to that instant gratification. They waited.
Sister Nasreen, what do you think makes such, when they're kids, we often like, which is interesting, we were having this discussion before the show that we should treat kids as humans, not just as children. Mm. What makes children different in such a young age?
Oh, there was you know, there's so many things that we can't really cover, but I think one of the things that we were talking about was the way that adults talk to them and treat them, and let them get away with having certain expectations, you know, but that comes later. And it actually comes from the adult's behavior.
Mm.
If you're going to be a person who is sort of a consumer-oriented adult, then you're going to raise a child who is towards instant gratification, right? Because they need the external impulses and stimulants to keep them satisfied, right? Just like the mother or father did. You know, they all need their toys. You know, men's toys get more expensive. And women, we accessorize the external, over-accessorize, and the children are left with that kind of reality in their inner consciousness, right? So it's about the grown-ups making different, choosing a different direction, to make a change in their direction, which is more inward.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, social media, I mean, it comes down to what you said in the beginning of the show. If you use it right, it can lead to desirable and often productive results that helps the community, helps the world. That's,
and it's also the children, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That if they see that the mother or father is using it in a certain way, then that child is going to use it the same way.
Thank you so very much for your time, and thank you to our audience for being with us. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Back to Reality. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This is IRIB English Radio.